Name of Jesus, I want to ask you a question. How many of you ever tried to put something together without reading the instructions, the blueprint? Can I see you raise your hands? Wow, 75% of the people. Worse yet, and I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand for this. How many ever of you knew what the instructions said, but you totally ignored them because you thought you had a better way? In Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, Jesus gives instructions, a blueprint for building a church. He says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Amen. Just 50 words. It's almost like a thesis statement. Short, condensed, but deep and powerful. Jesus' blueprint for building a church. And that's the title of this message. And maybe you say, "Now Ray, hold on there. This is the Great Commission. This is a mission verse we use at mission services. This is details outlining a missionary's responsibility. What does that have to do with Pleasant Hill?" Let me ask you this. If this is the blueprint for building a church in Alaska, should not Pleasant Hill conform to this blueprint? If this is a blueprint for building a church in Ukraine, then shouldn't we be able to use it within our church now? Has Pleasant Hill left the pattern? Have we drifted away from the instructions? These 50 words in Matthew 28, 19 and 20 are a blueprint that every church needs to constantly affirm that they are following the instructions. Affirm we are not trying to build our church without the instructions. These are blueprints we can measure ourselves by and we can make any needed adjustments. I'd like you to get a piece of paper. If you have a kind of a large piece of paper, it doesn't have to be large, and get a pen, because I have some things I want you to do here. I'd like you to draw a large circle, and then draw a circle inside that circle, and then draw a circle inside that circle. So what you're going to end up with, three circles. It's kind of going to look like for you hunters, it's going to look like a target. A large circle, then a circle inside that circle, and then a smaller circle inside that circle. And we will use this for our outline. The first commandment for a biblical church, the first part of verse 19. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." Teach means to disciple, to instruct. Well, we need to ask instructions about what? In a similar verse in Mark 16, verse 15, Jesus says, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." The gospel is the good news about Jesus Christ. We are to teach foundational aspects of the good news about Jesus. So in that very center circle, you can write Jesus and foundational doctrines at the very center. Jesus and foundational doctrine. The New Testament church is to revolve around Jesus Christ and the foundational doctrines connected to Jesus. Jesus Christ, repentance and faith needed in him. Jesus Christ, his deity, his death and resurrection. Jesus Christ, his blood reconciles us. Jesus Christ, the judge of the quick and the dead. At the center of every church needs to be Jesus Christ and the foundational doctrines that emanate from him. They need to be at the core. They need to be the center of attention, the focus that each of us revolve around. 1 Corinthians 3:11, "For other foundation can no man lay other than that is laid, which is" what? Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2, verse 20. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief, what? Cornerstone. Pleasant Hill. Is Jesus Christ the center of our focus, our foundation? Do we get excited about foundational doctrine? Is it all about the blood? These issues cannot be put into the second circle. They cannot be put into the third circle. They must stay in the center. We must revolve around Jesus Christ. Try to picture, oh, you're familiar with a bicycle wheel. You know, everything is built around the hub. From it proceeds the spokes. And from the spokes proceeds the rim. Without the hub, the whole wheel could not function. It is the center. It is the point everything revolves around. In the instructions for building the church, Jesus and foundational doctrines must be at the center. He must be the point everything revolves around. He must be at the center, or we are not a true church. To sum up the center circle, Jesus Christ alone, salvation through faith, foundational doctrine. These doctrines have to be the foundation, the focus of our church. And if they are not, we are not following the instructions laid out by Jesus. Jesus gives the second instructions for building, or in our case, evaluating a church in verse 19. He says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And we could do many sermons just on baptism. In brief, we want to look at two things here. Our union with Christ and our union with believers. You can write that in the second circle. Union with Christ and union with believers. You see, in baptism, we symbolically identify with Christ in his death and resurrection. Colossians 2:12, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God. Romans 6, verse 3 to 5. Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection. In baptism we are saying, Jesus, I want to be like you. In your death you died to my sins. I go under this water. In symbolism of my death to sin. And I rise again in newness. My desire for holiness like Jesus Christ. Identity, union with Jesus Christ. And because of that identification, we seek sanctification and we seek holiness in Christ. Also in baptism, we see the act of being joined in the body to the body of Christ. I remember, this is quite a while ago, when one of my children had accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior in the fall, we had decided to wait till spring to baptize her because of the water being so cold. Well, the new directory was going to be printed soon, so a decision needed made whether her name should go in the church directory. And I remember the ministers held a meeting. And they decided not to put her name in the church directory because she had not been baptized. You see, historically, baptism brings us official into official union with the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12, 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentiles, whether we bond or free. We have all been made to drink of the one Spirit. You see, through the baptism of Christ by the Holy Spirit, we enter into one body, union with each other. And with the unity, we see the gifts of the Spirit exercised. We see the fruit of the Spirit bringing unity. Are you getting the picture of how a church should be put together? Jesus Christ at the very center. Salvation by faith alone, in Christ alone. Foundational doctrines at the core. Surrounding this core will be a church that seeks to identify with Jesus Christ and have union with Jesus Christ, and a church that seeks to be in union with each other and unity with each other. It will be a church that grows fruit and exercises gifts and seeks sanctification. Pleasant Hill, where are we? Do we line up with the blueprint? Is this where we are at? The third instruction Christ gives for building, or as in our case, inspecting a church, is in verse 20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. A church is first to lay the foundation of Jesus Christ and foundational doctrines such as faith in Christ for salvation. Secondly, revolving around this core is our union, identity with Christ that brings sanctification and fruits, and our union with each other and the gifts of the Spirit. The third instruction is a church is to observe all things. So you can write in that outer circle, all things. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. I want you to notice, first of all, the inclusiveness. All of Christ's commands are to be observed by the New Testament church. We cannot exclude what is not convenient. We cannot exempt what is not popular. We cannot throw out teachings just because they might seem unimportant to us. There are no exceptions. All things that I have commanded you. Isn't that clear? It's not only inclusive, it's also exclusive. You see, if doctrine is not in Scripture, we are not to include them in its teachings. If something sounds good, but it doesn't come from the Word of God, it is not to be part of the church. Human thought, human ideas are to be rejected. We are to be inclusive of all of Christ's teachings, all things, but we are to be exclusive of all man-made thought, doctrines, and traditions. You see, when we love Christ, when we have that relationship with Christ in the inner circle, what's it do? It works outward. Those in love with Christ will also seek sanctification and will seek unity with fellow believers. But it doesn't stop there. Those in love with Jesus, those who revolve around him, they will want to please him in all things. They will ask, how does Jesus want me to dress? They will ask, what size veiling does Jesus want me to wear? They will ask, how can I more thoughtfully understand his word? How can I apply his word more in my life? You see, love for Christ, that relationship revolving around him, must and will result in seeking to follow all things. All of these are to be taught and observed in the church till Christ returns. There is no exceptions. There are no additions. Christ's instructions for building a church. How do we rate? Is Jesus and foundational doctrine our core focus? Do we emphasize our union with Christ and also our unity with each other? Are we faithful to teach and observe all things? Have we slipped from the instructions? Are we on target? I'm not talking about the department store. Are we on target with Christ's words? If the building inspector would come today, what would he find? Are we in code? Have we violated the instructions? I want to look at two fairly common violations of the Matthew 28, 19 and 20 building code. Building code violation number one. And that is the violation of putting the outer circle into the inner circle. Sometimes churches start good. The focus is on the good news about Jesus Christ. They revolve around Jesus Christ and repentance and faith in him to save them from sins. And then slowly they cease to have Christ at the center. They remove Christ and faith. They remove that to the outside circle. And instead they revolve around applications and principles. And Jesus warned about this in Matthew 23:23. He said, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These all ye two have done, and not to leave the others undone." You see, the Pharisees, they revolved around applications of Scripture. And they were good applications. I mean, they were scriptural applications. But what happened? It became wrong. It became wrong when they did not focus on the weightier matters of truth, such as judgment, mercy, and faith. They put things from the outer circle. They put them into the inner circle and were ignoring what God had designed was to be in the inner circle. You see, the New Testament church cannot afford this violation. We cannot afford to remove foundational issues and revolve instead around biblical principles and applications instead. We cannot downplay repentance of sin, the doctrine of sin. We cannot downplay faith in Christ and the blood sacrifice and instead, in its place, exalt principles and applications. To do so is a death wish spiritually. It was pretty many years ago. I don't remember how long. I remember listening to a Mennonite mission give a report. I forget who they were. But one of the places they had a ministry was among an Amish group that many years ago had moved away to Mexico to get away from the world. And I thought, why is this Mennonite group having a ministry to this Amish group that moved to Mexico? And they explained the reason. Because this group did not know they needed to have faith in Jesus Christ in order to be saved. This Amish group had left this principle. They didn't know about it is only the blood, faith in Jesus. That is the only thing that saved them. They had lost that. And so this Mennonite group was witnessing to them. Recently, we did some work on my shed. I had replaced the siding, and then we put some new shingles on. But just recently, I remembered something I had forgotten about. A year or so ago, I had seen a 2x4 that holds the studs up, that it was half rotted out. I had wanted to replace it, but I never did. And if I don't reinforce the foundation, you know, it's going to affect the new siding that I put on, and it's going to affect the shingles. There will be consequences to me forgetting the foundation in my shed. When a church ignores the foundation, there are consequences. Just give you one example. We talked in the second circle about our union with Christ and our union with each other. Well, when a church does not believe in the center circle, when they do not believe in salvation by the blood alone, you see, there can be no union with Christ because they cannot not have that new nature which brings sanctification. They cannot have union with other believers. Because now union is based on works of righteousness and not on righteousness through the blood of Jesus. When you see, when a church gets its foundation shuffled, the whole church starts to tilt and it gets out of whack. We must keep Christ and foundational doctrines at the center. Building code violation number two. The violation of rejecting the outer circle. Many churches and individuals deal with this violation. They focus on Jesus and the love of Jesus and how much they love Jesus. And they focus on the Holy Spirit and being open to his voice. And they embrace foundational doctrine. But this, the outer circle, they choose to reject that. They view embracing the outer circle as being legalistic. They view embracing the outer circle, that's hindering the Spirit. I mean, why focus on how to dress, what size head veiling, the kiss of charity, the doctrine of non-resistance? Hey, we just need to love Jesus and the Spirit will overtake our life. What's wrong with this attitude? Well, first of all, Jesus Christ is in all three circles equally. What God says about the head veiling and what he says about dress is just as much truth and inspired of God as the doctrine of the atonement. In John 8, verse 31, Christ says, "If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed." You see, to willfully reject the outer circle, the all things, the total word, is to reject Jesus Christ. Also, Christ associates our love for him with obedience in the outer circle. John 14, 23 and 24. Jesus answered and said to them, "If any man love me, he will keep my," what? "My words, my commandments. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings." You see, love for Christ demands obedience in the outer circle. We also see faith in all three circles. As we have faith in Jesus Christ as being worthy of our trust in that inner circle, it will spread out to obedience in the second circle and the smallest detail in the outer circle. Have you violated Christ's instructions for the church in rejecting or minimizing the outer circle? What are the results of rejecting the outer circle? Let me tell you this. If we cannot be sure what is truth in the outer circle, if we really can't know what to believe in the outer circle, how can we know what is truth in the inner circle? And many churches have gone down the road of doubting the truth of the doctrines in the outer circle. And like a cancer, it spreads inward. And these churches soon begin to doubt what is truth in the second circle and then in the inward circle. You see, some of the churches that started to doubt the head veiling 100 years ago, today they doubt if Jesus is really God. Some of the churches that started to doubt the doctrine of nonconformity 50 years ago are struggling with the foundational doctrine, is Jesus Christ really the only way to heaven? The churches that started to doubt the need for practical sanctification 25 years ago, today they're doubting, is there really a literal hell and a literal heaven? You see, when the shed roof leaks, it is sure to rot away the foundational timbers. Allow a church to doubt third circle doctrine, and in time, they will doubt the validity of foundational doctrines. Never forget the words that Jesus said to the Pharisee. We mentioned them earlier. "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith." Then he says, "These you ought to have done, and not to leave the others undone." Did you notice that? "And not to leave the others undone." Christ is saying, putting this in my own words, "You Pharisees, you need to start focusing on things in the center circle. But when you do that, don't leave the third circle undone." You see, to follow Christ's instructions, we will not neglect any of the counsels of God. Down through history, down through the centuries, there have been many great visionaries. They looked at a great span across the river and they said, I will build a bridge. They looked at a piece of land and said, I will build a hospital. Some even looked at a group of oppressed people and said, I will build a nation. But we see Christ. Over 2,000 years ago, he looked across time and he prophesied in Matthew 16, 18, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Notice the personal pronoun, I. He is the architect. He is the designer. He is the energizer. He is the lead supervisor. I will. In fact, in Matthew 28, verse 18, and Jeff alluded to this, Jesus prefaced the Great Commission by saying, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. You see, it's his power. It's his authority, his instructions that are building the church. We cannot of ourselves build Pleasant Hill one inch better. We cannot build Pleasant Hill to new heights without his instructions and without his authority and without his presence, because he is the master builder. We are just the followers. There is no need for human wisdom. There is no need for outside instructions. There is no need for modification. He is the builder. He is personally in charge. And any success in any church is only because we get out of the way and allow Jesus Christ to build. Notice he also says, will build. You see, it's a continual building. And that's so exciting. You know, you can draw a church charter. And you can lay down the rules, all its regulations. But that's just a start. Christ will always be there building. Christ wants to keep building us to newer heights and greater heights. He wants us to allow him to daily strengthen him. He also says, my church. Isn't that personal? My church. I could take you to 8829 Maple Grove Road, and I could say, this is my house. But I'm not sure if I could have a lot of emotion when I say my house, because first of all, I didn't build it. And I didn't even help with the blueprints to design it. You see, Jesus Christ can get emotional when he talks about Pleasant Hill, because it is his church. He's the one that designed it. He designed this church before the foundations of the world was laid. He designed it to revolve around him. He designed it to flow from his body and be part of his body. He laid down his life to give life to this church. The church is him. It is for him, and it is by him. It's his church. And so Jesus Christ, he can look at Pleasant Hill, and he can be full of emotion and tears and compassion and say, this is my Pleasant Hill. Do we care about him? Do we love him? Are we willing to make any changes if we've been building wrongly? Will we build Pleasant Hill through his power? Notice the verse closes with a promise and a warning. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. You see, when the church follows the authority of Christ, no demonic force can tear it down. It's that simple. As we at Pleasant Hill, as we build and live in the power and instructions of the resurrected Christ, there is no demonic power that can bring Pleasant Hill down. It is in his power and following in his instructions. There is no false doctrine that can destroy us. In his power and following his instructions, there is no church problem that can destroy us. In his power and following his instructions, there is no evil culture around us that can bring us down. Do you believe that? However, it's also a warning. Get outside of his authority. Get outside of his power. gets out outside of his blueprint and we open ourselves to demonic forces and we will fall. In Matthew 28, verse 20, Jesus also gives the same promise and warning. And I think Jeff alluded to this too. He said, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." So if we build on this foundation, this blueprint, Jesus personally tells Pleasant Hill he's going to be with us. Isn't that wonderful? But let us get outside of his blueprint. Let us get outside of his instructions. He will not be there with us. Every leader is given permission to use the authority of Christ to build his church. Just a couple words of application. How are we building? Dads, you are leaders. In your homes, what is your emphasis? Do you put Jesus Christ in foundational doctrines first, followed by the second and third circles? Are you given priority to foundational issues without neglecting the all things? Moms, you are so important in this building process. Telling your children the truth about Scripture is so awesome. Are you careful about how you are building? Probably all you have stories, you remember those times you baked something and you didn't follow instructions. You thought you needed 2 tablespoons of flour and it was really 2 cups. Or you assumed you needed brown sugar and it was really white sugar. And you followed your own reasoning instead of the instructions. And things just didn't get right, did they? With our children, you must get things right. Christ's instructions are easy to follow. Tell them about foundational issues, but don't neglect the other things. Sunday school teachers, each of us that builds up this church, how are we building? Do we put the third circle into the center and bring chaos into the church? Or do we emphasize the inner circle but neglect the outer circle and thereby hurt this church by not leading her into the full counsels of God? I want to close with this thought. It won't be long until the inspector is coming. The church is his bride. He is our husband. Will he find his bride glorious? Will he find his bride following his instructions? Will he find his bride built to his design? Will we be ashamed at his appearing? 1 Corinthians 3, 10 and 11. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and other buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Is Jesus Christ built at our center? Have we built on that our union with Christ and our unity with each other? Have we built around that the all things? You know, when you do that project at home that I asked you about, when you didn't follow instructions, sometimes when you were done, you had pieces left over, right? And maybe you laughed about it. But building a church is no laughing matter. There are souls at stake. There are lives that can get hurt. Have we examined ourselves? We are little builders, rearing block by block. And our sure foundation is the solid rock. Not for wealth we're building, nor for praise of men, but for our Redeemer, doing all we can. May God bless each of you as you build up the Church of Jesus Christ.